We've been looking at experiments that you can use to aid yourself in the glory walk. Things that you can do during a 24-hour day to give yourself a spiritual lift. This is only for those who are really interested in being spiritual. For those who are not really concerned, these sermons will be actually useless and probably boring. But we're trying to find out certain methods, certain things you can do whereby you can assist the Holy Spirit in giving you a spiritual uplift. Galatians 5, 16 and 25, I want to begin tonight by reading that. Galatians 5, 16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we're trying to give you on Sunday night some of the ways that you can walk in the Spirit, live under the influence of the Holy Spirit during a 24-hour day. So far, we have offered suggestions that would cover 17 out of the 24 hours, including the 8 hours that you would probably spend in sleep, thus leaving us approximately 7 hours to go in which you need to somehow include the Lord. Now, our suggestions tonight could probably take up 2 to 3 more of the 7 hours, leaving us with nothing but about 4 to go. A lot of our time is broken into segments. That is, we're doing many different things during a certain hour. Some of us spend that time waiting. Others, driving. And then there's a time we're just sitting. Other times, just looking. And other times, just relaxing. And you may be doing these things during an hour, but at different times during that hour. Now, I believe the devil is constantly on the lookout for an idle mind. You know the saying, an idle mind is the devil's workshop, and that's true. Either you will fill your mind with spiritual thoughts, or the devil will fill it for you with evil thoughts, or with trivial thoughts, or with depressing thoughts. And so what we need to do is to keep our mind during 24 hours as much as possible constantly upon the Lord. Now, both of our experiments tonight deal with occupying the mind with spiritual thoughts. Now, this practice is recommended in the Bible. Look at Romans 12:2. We're not going to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit until we learn to fill our mind with the Lord. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world. Now, he's talking here about a life lived in the Spirit. It's unlike a life of a man who does not live in the Spirit. Be not conformed. Do not be like the people you find in the world. But be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice your transformation, the glory walk, walking in the Spirit, is possible only if you learn to renew, have a changed mind. Your thought pattern is going to have to change. If you do not, well then of course you will not have a transformed mind, then you will not have a transformed life. Look also, if you will, at Ephesians 4, 22. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Put off, concerning your former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust that dwells in it, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, righteousness and true holiness is a description of the glory walk. How is it made possible? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Then Philippians 2:5 is the final verse we'll look at in this connection of the value of putting spiritual thoughts in your mind. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, the glory walk is nothing but the imitative walk of Christ. And if we're to walk as Christ walked, then we're going to have the kind of mind, we're going to have to think as Christ thought and fill our mind with the same kind of thoughts with which he filled his mind. Now, the thoughts you have during the day and the thoughts that you entertain during the day will have a bearing on whether or not you become a new person, whether or not you actually change really your personality and your entire being. A common word for this exercise of changing your mind is done by meditation. Meditation. What do you meditate about? Well, in Psalm 63 and Psalm 77, there is a definite suggestion offered as to what you meditate about. Look at Psalm 63, 6 and 7. I don't know whether or not you meditate, but this is the way you transform your mind, renew your mind. You begin to change your mind's thinking, and therefore you have a spiritual lift, and you have the glory walk. You have to meditate. Psalm 63, 6 and 7 gives a suggestion as to what you ought to meditate about. Now, this is not the only thing, but this is a beginning. Verse 6 says, "When I remembered thee upon my bed," now here's a good place to meditate, "and meditate on thee in the night watches," this old boy couldn't sleep, "because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." Now his meditation was about the Lord's help. Look now, if you will, at Psalms 46, 77, 12. Psalm 77, 12. "I will meditate also of all thy work and talk," that is, I guess, to himself, that's meditation, you talk to yourself, "and talk of all thy doings." What do you meditate about? About the Lord's work for you and about what the Lord has done for you. Now, this form of meditation requires remembering. And remembering is a spiritual exercise that you ought to develop. Look at 1 Chronicles 16:12. I talked something about this last Sunday morning about remembering. 1 Chronicles 16:12. Remember, now the Lord has to instruct us to remember spiritual things, and this is something you're going to have to learn to do and train your mind to do some remembering. "Remember his marvelous works that he has done." Well, the only marvelous works that you're going to remember is the ones that he's done for you. "Remember his marvelous works that he has done. Remember his wonders and remember the judgments of his mouth." His works and his wonders are to be remembered by you. Look at Psalms 143:5. We have a lot of scripture tonight, but it's important that you understand this. Verse 5 says, "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works, and I muse on the work of your hands." Then Isaiah 46:9 again emphasizes the same thing. We must remember what the Lord has done for us in time past. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." Now, our meditation needs to take the form of recalling what the Lord has done. We do this every Wednesday night in prayer meeting. We ask the question, what has the Lord done for you that's worth remembering? And maybe he hasn't done anything. But this needs to be done for us to continue to recall, and I don't care how far back you want to go in your Christian life, but recall the times the Lord showed himself to be God Almighty in your life. Now I want to offer a suggestion, an experiment that will help you and aid you in this type of meditation. What has the Lord done that you should not forget? What has the Lord done that has proven He is God to you and has proven His greatness to you? If I just ask tonight for someone to stand up and tell me what God has done for you that you ought to share with us, that you couldn't meditate upon, that would cause you to admire the Lord for, probably a lot of you'd go blank. Well, I don't know anything. And I'd be safe in saying that the Lord has done something wonderful for everyone here tonight. But they've forgotten about it. Now, most people can't remember what the Lord has done. I am suggesting a way tonight to organize your mind so it can remember and meditate on the works the Lord has done for you. And we're going to make use of the alphabet. Stay with one letter in the alphabet as long as you'd like to. In other words, move through the alphabet at your own leisure, at your own time, as quickly as you like or as slowly as you like. But allow yourself, when you think of a letter, to recall and to think. Take the alphabet a letter at a time and in the right order. Don't jump around from A to L to Q to C, but take it in its order. And this exercise, once you really get the hang of it, will help you recall and meditate on what the Lord has done. One of the best aids to this exercise is a good dictionary and a good Bible concordance in the back of your Bible. Run down the list of A words and see if your mind is not used by the Holy Spirit and you begin to think of something. And I'm going to illustrate tonight from my own life. That's the only thing I know how to do. Things that I remember that the Lord has done for me that has proved His greatness and that I stand in amazement of. Things that I remember Him for. We'll begin, and I'm not going the whole alphabet, but I want to begin with the letter A. Certain things come to my mind. Now, I looked in the dictionary, I looked in the concordance, and I found the word abundance. Abundance. And so I talk about my own personal life. And there are times when I hear about someone that has one pair of shoes, that has one dress, that has one suit, and I walk in my closet, and I stand amazed at how good God has been to Billy. And that's the honest truth. And sometimes I'm ashamed. God has outdid Himself. God has been very good to me. As far as abundance goes, God could not have been better to me than He has been. He's been rich towards me. And now, to cap it all off, He's placed me in, I guess, the finest home I'll ever have. I'm living like a king. I mean, I don't know how else you can put it. And God has been so good to me. Now, the day may come when I'm poor and I have but one coat. But I can always meditate that God has been good. And God has opened the windows of heaven. And God has showered me with blessings. And that I can always remember, if I never keep it. Another A word that comes to me is, and I'm not bragging when I say this, God has just been good to me, and I don't know why He does it. I wouldn't give Billy a dime, but that's just me, you see. The Lord is abundantly rich towards me, and I praise Him for it. Another word that comes to me is the word angel. I remember my mother. She was up in years when I was born. I think they were married 14 years before I ever came along. The doctor said my mother would probably not live, and she tells of an angel who came and told her that I would be born and that she would not die. I'll not forget this. But that's strange to me, and I remember as I look in the A's. Now, I don't remember that every day, but if I really stop and run across the word angel, that flashes to my mind. There are other A words. I just can't take time tonight to go through all the A words. And you get so many. Then there's the B. The first thing that came to my mind with the B is new birth. And I cannot help but think back in the Billy Graham crusade years ago when God worked upon me night after night, kind of convicted me of my sins. And finally, the last crusade day, the Lord brought me down from the stadium, down to the platform, down to the field, and I gave my life to Him, and I was born again. I cannot help but think back how good God was to call me. I think of new birth and the circumstances and the joy the Lord brought to me when He gave me at birth and made me His child. When I come to the letter C, I cannot help but think of my call to the ministry and the vision of Christ that I had one morning while laying in bed, getting up to go to the University of Houston. The Lord appeared to me in vision form. I'll not forget that. He didn't say a word, but He implied by His look that I was to be a minister once and for all and not be a dentist, which I was studying to be. I'll not forget that. I've never seen a vision again in my life, and I guess I never will. But you don't forget that. Then the C letter also calls to mind the cross, and when I really sit down and start thinking about Christ and pick up an old spike or look at some hand and put a nail through it, I'm amazed that God would love me that much to die for me. The C calls to mind the great love of Christ. The C calls to mind the word chasten. I'll not forget in Van Vleck, my last pastor, I had a sore throat. I always have a sore throat. But I had one this time, and it was really bad. And I told Mary Lou, I'm going to have to go to Houston and get some doctor to treat me. Them doctors down there wouldn't do anything for me. You know, they couldn't help me. And the Lord just impressed upon mine. He said, Billy, you can go to Houston, and you can buy all the pills you want and see all the doctors you have in mind, but I'll guarantee you're not going to get a bit better. And that sort of set me back on my heels. And the Lord really impressed upon my mind. He said, you are sinning. And you're guilty of a sin, and you repent of it, and you'll get well. If not, the pills won't do you a bit of good. And so I repented, and the sore throat went away in a matter of hours. And not all my sore throats are due to that, but that time it was. And I'll not forget that. At least I hope all my sore throats aren't due to that, you know. But I'll not forget that the Lord impressed upon me that there are times when your medicines are not going to work, and your doctors are going to fail. If the Lord doesn't bless the medicine, it won't help anybody. Then there's the letter D. I think of debts. Everybody's got debts. But it's strange how I've made some of them. You see, that's the thing that's different. Most people make debts, they want something to go down and buy it. I've made a few debts that's different than this. I bought a typewriter on the basis that a train went through my first town, Van Vleck, at a certain time of the night and woke me up. I asked the Lord, if I woke up at a certain time of the night, that I'd buy it. If not, I wouldn't buy it. Sure enough, I never wake up. Now, you know, there was a train near where I woke up that night and heard the train whistle. Never woke up again. And I bought it on a typewriter, cost almost $600, and I never dined. I was making $3,200 a year in my first church. And I bought a typewriter on faith because of the train whistle that night. And I'll not forget that. The Lord helped me pay for it, and I still got the thing. Still typing on it. And my printing equipment has all been bought on faith. I go to the Lord and ask Him. I came over here one day and prayed. I saw this press advertised in a magazine. I was going to buy it. And the Lord said to me, no, sir, you don't buy that press. And I didn't. I didn't. Now, the Lord, a business part as far as printing goes. But it strains me how the Lord has blessed and paid off these debts of His. I call them His debts, you see. I make Him partner, so He's going to be the fellow that has to pay it off, you know. Oh, that's amazing stories I could tell you about that. And then E, God impresses upon my mind the value of eternity. Whenever I think of eternity, I always think of the story, and I've told it here several times, and I guess I'll tell it several times more. Take a blank piece of paper and write zeros, a one and a comma, and three zeros, and comma, and three zeros, and comma, and then leave the paper and take the floor, and then take the wall, and take the ceiling, and go out in the street, and take the street. And you haven't begun to tell the amount of time eternity is. That stuck in my mind, to think that God would want us to live with Him eternally. Then there's F, forgiveness. I've said so many times that God's forgiven me, I can't count them. Guidance is G. I didn't pick the church I've been in. I've been in three churches. And so to speak, I've been dropped in all three of them by the DS. Didn't ask me where I was going or what I thought. They just said, you're going so and so. And the Lord has actually picked the three churches I've been in, and I've had no say-so about them. And so the Lord has been good, and I think the Lord has led me. And I'll tell you about one tonight. I shouldn't go on and on and on. I got more in the sermon than this. But cardan guidance. Maybe some of you know this. Maybe some of you don't. But I have a dented tendon on the right-hand side of my station right. You're strange how I got this thing. And I'll tell you how it was. I had a friend of mine come to this church one Sunday morning, and he was all upset because his preacher had taken the young people to the show in Bay City to see the graduate. Well, I didn't know what the graduate was from anything else. You know, I don't keep up with the show. But I found out it was one of these, I don't think it's X, but it's the next thing to an X movie, you know. It's an immoral film. And so he said to me, "What can I do about the preacher?" And I said, "Fella, I don't have any idea what you can do about the preacher." He asked me, "What's the show about?" And I said, "I don't know what the show's about." I couldn't have an answer. So I talked to Mary Lou, and I said, "Well, maybe we ought to go see the show. Find out what it's about." And I sort of heard the Lord and said, "Tut, tut, tut on that, buddy." You don't have to stand for seeing to find out what it's like, you know. So I told the Lord, I said, "Well, Lord, we're going to go see it. But if you don't want me to go, you call me over it." And I drove from here down to, what's the street? Post office is on. That's as far as I got. And a lady pulled out of her lane and whopped the back of my car. And I said, "Well, Lord, I guess I'll go to the show today." And when I look at that fender, the Lord reminds me that you just don't go and behold evil, even if it is evil. You take somebody else's word for it, just go and see it, I guess. The Lord impressed that up on me as guidance, so I forgot it and let it go. H, the Lord healed me one time in my church at Dying Ball. I'll not forget that. I could talk all night to you about tithing and offerings, how the Lord is blessed in this way. I'm reminded of my wife. God has been so good to me and given me a perfect wife. I couldn't ask for a better wife. She spoils me. That's the only thing wrong with it. I think of you. I'm skipping around now. I have many more, but I don't have time tonight. And you, I'm just thinking of unction. Unction may be a new word to you. But unction is what it takes when you preach to move the people. There's something the Lord Himself has to do with what you say. And if the Lord's blessing is upon you and there's unction, that's the blessing. The Lord takes the words and He takes the man's mind you're speaking to and He manipulates the mind and what is known as getting people under conviction. I remember as a boy, just starting out to preach. Never could talk in my life, but the Lord called me to preach. And I was preaching to a bunch of young people, what it used to be known as a district rally, Epworth Church in the Gulf Freeland. And I was just preaching away up there, and I got through with the sermon. I gave an invitation. And lo and behold, down the aisle came about 15 or 20 young teenagers, a lot of boys, just a weeping. And I was so shaken up. I broke down crying and had to sit down. I didn't know what was going on. But I remember that. What the Lord can do. And I could go on. I wished I had the unction, you know, now. But this is things that you just remember, and the Lord has been so good. But it takes time to go back and recall all these things. And it's a method whereby you can recall your blessings and count your blessings and keep them fresh in your mind year after year. And your vision of God grows. It gets to be so big to you. So vital, so important, so powerful. When you begin to think about what the Lord has done, you don't live in quite as much fear either because you see what the Lord has done in the past. He'll do it in the future. And there remains one more type of meditation that I think can be profitable. And this is done while you're either driving or riding in an automobile. And the Lord showed me this just last week. I was driving behind this car, and I just, for no reason at all, glanced at the license plate that I was following. And I saw the letters PTP. PTP. And the first thing that hit my mind was, "Please, people first." PTP. And I said, "Man, that thought didn't come from the Lord. It was just please, people first." And I began to think about this. I called to mind Paul talking about this same question of did he please the people? Of course, I didn't get a Bible and look it up, but I remember Paul talking about this, and tonight I looked it up. Galatians 1:10, Paul says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." And so I ask the question as, do I please the people? Do I preach to please, or do I preach to bless, to help, to correct, and to instruct? And I've always felt that I've tried to be honest in the pulpit, regardless of the consequences. And if somebody gets upset by what I preach, they just got to get upset. But the Lord impressed upon me then, why don't you use this method as a form of meditation? I do a great deal of driving. And I get bored with the radio. I don't know what, there's nothing on it I won't listen to. And of course, one of my cars has a tape deck. And man, that's a real blessing. I could recommend that to you. Play religious tapes. That's wonderful. But I don't have but one in one car, and I can't transfer, you know, and I'm getting so many cars around with will. But anyway, that's something else. I got to get rid of a bunch of them. But the Lord impressed, why don't you do this? And so I tried the same letters again. Now, what could the Lord say to me with those three letters? PTP. Well, there's perfection through prayer. You've heard the motto, prayer changes things, but I also have realized that prayer changes people. It just doesn't change things, it changes you. And you really don't get down to praying without also getting down to being a different person. And so I thought about perfection through prayer. Somebody has devised the idea that if he could get all of his congregation truly praying, he'd have no problems. And that's true. If you can get your people praying, they'd never miss church. They would be ideal Christians because God would settle every problem they had in their prayer life. And then there is prepare the people, PTP. Prepare the people for what? For death. For living. For judgment. And then I started looking around at other car places, and you don't have to look very far. I mean, they're all around the place. Every car's got a set on it, you know. And almost no two sets of plates are alike. They have different numbers, and I didn't find too many letters the same. And the combinations are just numberless. Cars coming, cars going. All the plates you want to look at surround you. And I found you can't think fast. I tried to think fast as they went by, you know, get a comment, and I couldn't do that. I'm not that smart. But even if you did that, you'd lose the value of meditating on something the Lord would like to say to you. So I found it best to stay with a set of letters as long as the Lord wanted me to, and when I ran out of thoughts, I'd move on to another one. If one was too difficult, and I got a few Z's, you know, I said, I won't leave that. Wise, Zion's only I could think of, Zest. So I forget that and go to another one. But I learned it was a good way to test your religious vocabulary. It's a good way to find out the spiritual thinking capacity you have. It's a mind stir. It makes you do some mighty serious thinking. It's also, I think, provides you with some great mottos of truth. Just the idea that perfection through prayer, that's a wonderful motto. And it's true. I want to close tonight by mentioning to you, I jotted down the five plates that I looked on that day. PTP was the first one. The next one was SJF. SJF. Serve Jesus first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I think it's good if you can remember a Bible verse to go along with the mantra you come up with. If you do, I think it's from the Lord, you see. Please, people, would not be a very good one. Please the people, just not scriptural. It may sound great. It's a good way to sell something, but it's not the way to sell yourself on the Lord. And so I found SJF served Jesus first. And if we'd do that, there wouldn't be any problems. See, no problems at all. Then there was JLJ. That one came to me quick. Just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. If I could talk just like Jesus, and think just like Jesus, and work just like Jesus, and walk just like Jesus, I'd be like Jesus. And that's the whole purpose of the glory walk, just like Jesus.
I'm not just like Jesus, but I feel that's a great motto.
That ought to be our aim. And then there was PFM. PFM. Purchased from misery. That's the Christian. Bought by the blood of Christ. The misery is hell. I've been purchased from misery. And there's a lot of misery I would have had I not been purchased by Jesus.